Jesus Christ has risen. So when I say Jesus Christ is risen, you need to respond with, He is risen indeed. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Our scripture today is found in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear these words. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man, or the human one, must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the woman. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. Let us pray. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. You have risen from the dead, indeed. You are glorified. You are praiseworthy. You are honored. We worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We rejoice. We have come through this Lenten season as we have examined our hearts, and now we rejoice because the doors are wide open. We are restored unto you, and we can have sweet fellowship with you. May these words be planted deep within our hearts. May we become your Easter people. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he has. And it is a joy and a delight to see each of you here today. It is a thrill for any pastor on Easter Sunday morning. It is even greater than being Irish on St. Patrick's Day. It is greater than being a kid on Christmas morning. Jesus Christ has risen.
He is risen.
Yes, he has. And the New Testament declares that Jesus Christ is alive today. The resurrection is the epic center of our faith. It is the crux of what we believe in. It is what the church was built upon. Billy Graham declared that if we wanted to be an enemy to Christianity, then we would aim right at the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, none of us would be here today. Amen? It is because of what Jesus has done is why we are here. And so, what is the reason for Easter being such a big deal? And why is there great significance in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to give you several of these. First of all, it announced victory over sin and death. And we sang about that very much already this morning, that there is victory over sin and death. Someone has gone to the other side and has come back and has returned to show us that there is a way to go through it. And Jesus came alive from the grave, and he assured that those who follow him will rise as well, that we will be resurrected as well. And so whenever my spirit leaves my body may be in a cemetery somewhere, but I am going to be alive with Jesus Christ and my relatives and my friends. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have that hope. The second reason that the resurrection is so important is that it is God's confirmation upon Jesus' sacrifice and the activity that has taken place on the cross. Easter morning was God's stamp of approval of what Jesus has done for us. It is the marking of that covenant relationship. And so that means that if you belong to Jesus Christ and when you pass from this life into eternity, that your sins are forgiven, that stamp is there. It is is sealed, it is done, and it is because of the price that was paid for us upon that cross at Calvary. The third reason the resurrection is so important is that it gives a preview of what is going to take place in history. Because the winner has been revealed. Jesus Christ is alive and he has conquered all. Amen? And so when this curtain falls on world history, there is not any ideology, there are no weapon system, and there is no economic system. There is nothing here upon this earth that will be able to stand up against Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is revealed, he is high and lifted up, and Scripture says that all will bow down to worship him. He is the King of kings, he is the Lord of lords, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And it should be that each and every day, not just today, but every day, we should be Easter people and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world is dead, it is dying, it is a dark place, and people are in need of this message to be spoken to them. So let's look at Luke's gospel for this Easter morning, and let's see what it has to say to us today. To begin with, Jesus died about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And he was hurriedly buried because of the Jewish Sabbath that began at sundown. It began sundown Friday and lasted through sundown on Saturday. And no burial, no work could be done. And so there was a great rush to get Jesus buried. In fact, there was such a great rush that there wasn't time for his body to be anointed with special spices and oils that were custom in that day. In fact, the first opportunity for that to happen was on Easter Sunday morning. And those who were responsible for anointing the dead with those spices were the women. And so early on that Sunday morning, certain women from Galilee who had supported Jesus in his ministry came to the tomb. And Mary Magdalene was the leader of them all. And there were many other women there as well. And I find it very interesting that God allowed Mary Magdalene and other women to be the very first people on earth to see and experience the resurrection and to be able to go and to proclaim that resurrection and that good news. Amen? And so the women were considered little more than property in the first century. And so for a woman's testimony to rely upon a woman's testimony was unacceptable. And so for this resurrection story, if it was made up, if it was something that was made up by the early church, they certainly wouldn't have used women to witness and to testify what was going on. And yet that is exactly what happened, that God allowed that to take place and they went forth and proclaimed it. All 4 Gospels give account of the resurrection. There are a little bit different nuances, but the one thing that remains that is solid in all 4 Gospels that is vitally important on Easter morning, and that is the fact that the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ, his dead body, literally and physically, has been raised, and he is alive today. The tomb of Confucius is occupied. The tomb of Buddha is occupied. The tomb of Muhammad is occupied. But Jesus Christ's tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is risen. All right, are y'all awake out there? Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. Our scriptural accounts of the resurrections shows us 4-step process in which the Easter good news is presented and continue to be proclaimed even today. So I want you to listen and to see where you might be in this 4-step process. I want for you to examine your heart and see where you are in this process. Step number 1, someone told us about Jesus. Someone had to have told you about Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't know or you wouldn't be here. Now, I can't remember how old I was when I was first read the Bible stories, the picture books, by my mother or by my grandmother. But one thing that I do remember as a kid, especially on Easter weekend, was being with my grandmother in the Methodist Church in Miami, Texas. And there's a beautiful picture of Jesus, and he's in the garden praying. And I think that that was when I first heard about Jesus and first heard about the resurrection story. There were two angels who first told Mary Magdalene the good news. They said, "He is not here, he is risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And the women ran to the disciples with this good news, and they said, "We have seen our Lord." Who first told you about the good news of the resurrection? And if you can remember who that was, and they are still alive, you need to go to them before the day ends and to thank them for sharing with you that resurrection message. The second step in spreading the Easter good news is that we inquire about Jesus ourselves. The seed may be planted, and someone may have planted the good news of the fact that Jesus is alive and that he loves you and that he came to die for our sins, but we have to check that out for ourselves as well. And when Simon Peter heard this news from Mary Magdalene, he decided to go and check it out. He ran to the tomb and he looked inside. And I know that there are many people that are skeptical about the resurrection, and there may even be people here today that says, "Preacher, I have never heard of a dead person rising up and walking out of a grave. Do you really suppose that happened?" Well, I want to give you three evidences of why the resurrection is real and true. And the first one is the fact that the disciples died for their belief. Someone is not willing to die for their religious belief unless they truly believe that it's true. And not only did the 12 disciples die, but there were hundreds of first century Christians that suffered and died in agony rather than saying that the resurrection wasn't real. Because that's all they had to do was to denounce the resurrection and their lives could have been saved. And they chose to die because they would not deny the fact that the resurrection was real. And if that was fake, I don't think very many people would be willing to lay their lives down for it. The second proof of the resurrection of being real is that the Sabbath day, if you remember, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, now has moved to Sunday. For 1,500 years, the Jews faithfully observed the Sabbath. In fact, it was the top 10 in commandments, one of the top 10. To keep the Sabbath holy, to remember it and to keep it holy. And yet, in a matter of few weeks, over 10,000 Jews moved their time of worship to Sunday morning. There was something great significance that had to have taken place in order for that to have that great of a change. The third proof of the resurrection is that it gives birth to the church. And that's the reason why we are here today. And at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, the church only consisted of a few hundred people who were depressed and fearful and defeated and anxious people. But after the resurrection, that word began to spread. And in 5 weeks after the crucifixion of Jesus, 10,000 believers proclaimed boldly that Jesus Christ is alive. And then, after only 20 years of the Christian faith, it reached Caesar's palace in Rome. And then, after 200 years, it had consumed the entire Roman Empire. And that is of great significance. Only the resurrection could give way to such momentum and a movement. So let's go back to the four steps. I said that the first one is that someone had to tell you about Jesus. And the second step is that you inquire yourself and go and check things out yourself. The third step is that Jesus finds us. Jesus finds us. Jesus is the one who touches our life in the most significant way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is at work in our behalf even when we don't even realize it. And that is called prevenient grace. God at work in our lives even when we're not even aware of it. Jesus seeks us out. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And it is no longer ancient history, but it is a current event. And if you have the Holy Spirit alive and well in your heart, and you have an active relationship with Jesus, you know that this is true. And the resurrection was very real for the early disciples when they went and they waited in the upper room, just as Jesus said. And he came and he greeted them, and they were fearful. They were frightened. And Thomas, he was very skeptical. And Jesus met Thomas face to face right where he was. And he said to not fear, to touch the palm of his hands, that he would see the scars, to touch his side, and to know that he, if you remember, he had been pierced with that sword, and that the blood and the water that flowed from his side. And he told him to stop doubting and to believe and to receive. Jesus meets us in many ways, in points in which we need and when we need Jesus the most. It can be in a special worship service, as it was on Maundy Thursday. We had a very special time. For those of you who are here, you know that. It was a special time, as well as the Good Friday service. It could be a spiritual weekend, such as an Emmaus walk, when you have a mountaintop experience with God. But sometimes it can even be when tragedy strikes. If you suffer the loss of a loved one, or perhaps you have faced surgery, or you have been told that you have cancer. And it is in those special moments that God comes and he touches us and he lets us know that he is alive, that he is real, and that he cares. The fourth and final step in spreading the good news of the resurrection is that we tell others. We tell others. Jesus is counting on us to spread this good news. And you proclaim this good news through personal conversations with other people as you were in interaction and relationship with them. It comes through music. All of the songs that we sang today, both at the beginning of the service and in the middle of the service, told a story. I don't know if you realize it. It told the story of the cross, the death, and the resurrection. That the gospel message has already been proclaimed as we worshiped him this morning. The gospel message is proclaimed through books and through videos and social media. Jesus told the disciples to wait. He said that I will die, I will rise again. He said, then I will send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, I will ascend unto the Father and I will sit down at his right hand. And there was one last command, one last instruction that Jesus gave to us. But it is our first order of business. And it is in Matthew 28:19, and it is this. This is what Jesus instructs us, even today. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And that word nations means people. Therefore, go and make disciples of all people. That should be our first order of business. And the early church, it's recorded throughout the book of Acts that they did just that. Day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is alive, that he came to restore our relationship with God. And so the question we need to ask is, who is going to discover the risen Christ because of you? Who will discover the risen Christ because of you? In your circles of influence, whether it's at work, at home, in your neighborhood, wherever it is that you may be, do people know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Can people tell that you have a relationship? Is there fruit? Is there evidence that Christ is alive in you? And if people do not know, why don't they? Because we are called to be disciples. We have been instructed by Jesus to proclaim this message. We are told to go to people and say, I believe in Jesus Christ and that he is alive. And I know that because I have experienced it firsthand. He has touched me. He has made a difference in my life. And then you begin to say that and give your testimony. And the sad thing is many people don't because they're afraid of how they're going to look. They value other people's opinions greater than pleasing God. They don't want to look foolish. They're afraid of being rejected. Why is it that we do not give the best news in the whole wide world? When the Texas Red Raiders win, we proclaim it wonderfully, right? Why are you not as excited about Jesus Christ? Why are you not as enthusiastic? Why are not the Colosseums and the stadiums filled for Jesus Christ rather than a ball game? We really should be that excited because it is the greatest news of all, because that has eternal value. Football does not. Baseball does not. And so who is going to spread that gospel message? Because when you choose to trust God, it says that the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. That means that God is already working in people's lives. The world is in need of Jesus Christ. God is just waiting for someone to listen and to be obedient and to share that word. And I guarantee you, if you get over your fear and stop being in bondage to what other people think, and you actually say, you know, Jesus Christ is alive, and this is what he has done in my life, I believe that God will anoint that testimony, and he will use it to minister to whoever is in hearing distance of it. But what we are afraid of is that person's response, and that's not your responsibility, it's God's. Your responsibility is to plant that seed. Your responsibility is to be that witness to the resurrection. And no longer do we need to be Christians on Easter Sunday and Christmas. We should be Easter people each and every day. So, are people going to discover the risen Christ because of you? I want to close with this story. This is a story about a woman who had a very special way of sharing her resurrected faith. This story is told in a book by her physician, actually. This book was written by Dr. Will Phillips of San Antonio, Texas. And the name of this woman in this book is Edith Burns. Are any of you familiar with Edith Burns and her story? She was an elderly widow who loved Jesus, and she would often sit with someone, anyone, when she greeted anyone, she would say, "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" That's all she would say. Because you see, that is a powerful evangelistic tool to be able to say something like that. And if that person said yes, then she would ask them what they believed about Easter. And if they went on and talked about the Easter bunny and colored eggs, then she would go on and tell them what Easter really means. And they would talk about Easter, and it gave her an opportunity to share with them the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And countless people were led to Christ because of Edith Burns, including Dr. Phillips' head nurse. One day, Dr. Phillips called Edith into his office and he said, "Edith, I've got bad news for you. The tests have come back positive and you have a very aggressive cancer and you are not going to live very long." And Edith replied, "Why, Dr. Phillips, you don't need to look so sad. I've lived a full life, and what you are telling me is that I am about to come face to face with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to see my family and I'm going to see my friends. And what this is good news, Dr. Phillips. I'm going to be reunited with them all." And after several months of chemotherapy, it became very evident that the cancer was going to win the battle in Edith's life and her body. And she checked into the hospital under hospice care. And everybody who met her was affected by her warmth, her joy, her peace, and her love in spite of the cancer that was in her body. And if she was given half of a chance, she would say to everyone, "Hello, I'm Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" In fact, she was nicknamed in that hospital Easter Edith. But there was one person who was not attracted to Edith. And her name was Phyllis Cross. And she was a mean and ornery nurse. She had been an army nurse for 20 years. She had gone through 4 failed marriages, and she was a pretty bitter woman. And Phyllis had told her supervisor, "I don't want to have anything to do with that religious nut, Edith Burns." See, that's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of somebody calling you a religious nut. And you know what? It's a compliment. One day, Phyllis had to go to Edith's room and to draw some blood, and Edith said, "Phyllis, God loves you, and I love you too. And I've been praying for you, Phyllis." Phyllis said, "Well, you can just stop praying for me because it won't work and I'm not interested." And Edith said, "I can't stop praying for you, Phyllis, because I've asked God not to let me go home to be with him until you enter into his family." And Phyllis replied, "Then you're never going to die because this is never going to happen." And she walked out of the room. Edith and Phyllis saw each other regularly over a series of weeks. And Edith never asked Phyllis the question, "I'm Edith Burns, do you believe in Easter?" And finally, Phyllis's curiosity got the best of her. And she came into Edith's room and she said, "Edith, I want to know why you have never asked me if I believe in Easter." And Edith smiled and she replied, "I asked God to cause you to ask me that question. I am so glad that you were here. You just did that." And that just caught Phyllis off guard, and her defense was down. And Edith shared the love of Jesus Christ with her. And that tough old army nurse received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right there in Edith's room. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it was Good Friday. And Phyllis came into Edith's room and she said, "Happy Good Friday to you, Edith." And Edith said, "Nope, it's Easter. If you were a Christian, every day is resurrection and you are Easter people." 2 days later, it was Easter. And Phyllis walked into Edith's room and she noticed a tranquil smile on her face, even though she knew that her spirit had left her body. Phyllis placed her hands on Edith's hands. She said, "Happy Easter, Edith. Happy Easter." And she went and she helped the family in preparing the funeral arrangements. And several hours later, Phyllis managed to take a break and she was in the workroom drinking some coffee when one of the new student nurses happened to be in there. And Phyllis scooted over to her and she said, "Hello, I'm Phyllis Cross. Do you believe in Easter? Do you believe in Easter?" How simple of a tool to witness to someone else is the greatest message in all the world. How about you? Do you believe in Easter, folks? Amen. 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 Yes. Let's give God a clap offering. Yes. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up front. And while they're coming, there's going to be two altar calls. There may be somebody here today that maybe the seed was planted, but you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You were skeptical. Maybe your heart has been touched. It might even be pounding out of your chest right now saying, "I wish that preacher lady would be quiet. I'm really uncomfortable right now." But if that's the case, then it's time for you to come and to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to come and to talk to me, because then I'm going to have some people to pray with you. And so you'll come to me. I'll be right here. Maybe you have received Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but you're really not active. People really don't know that you're a disciple of Christ. You really haven't let your light shine, and you are guilty of not proclaiming this gospel message. And if that is you, and you're tired of living a dormant life, and you're ready to be on fire by the Holy Spirit, then you need to come into these altars and to kneel and pray. And when you do, then those of you that are still in your pews, don't leave them up here by themselves. Get up here and lay your hands on them and pray for them, okay? First altar call, come to me. Second altar call, the rest of you that know in your heart, and you know because the Holy Spirit is working here today, whether you need to be here or not. Today's the resurrection day. Do you believe in Easter? Yes. Then let's stand and sing.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand. The light, the Lord. celebrate. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave.
Proclaim Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over
Wanda, come down here. If anyone else has a testimony they want to give, come down here. Now is your time. And I asked her to come down and to be willing to share and to testify. Anybody else, you're welcome to come.